I'm aware of the time, and because of that, I've cut my sermon from 3 hours to 2 hours and 45 minutes. Glory to God. Amen. John, the 5th chapter, verse number 39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." This whole book, folks, is all about Jesus. Every prophet in the Old Testament is an example of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of the feasts, everything points to him. Then if you turn back to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and verse number 29, here is where Jacob sent his family ahead, and he's getting a hold of God. You got to be careful. When you're really fervent about getting a hold of God, you might just get a hold of God. Amen. I mean, really get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Verse 29, it says, "And Jacob asked him, and tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Hallelujah. Well, there's going to be a day, folks, where we're going to see God face to face. Amen. Moses said, "You know, I'd like to see your glory, God." But, God said, "You're not in a situation where you could see my glory. You would explode. So I'll just put you in a cleft of a rock in order to protect you, and I'll just show you the back parts, you know." But there have been people who have wanted to know the name of God and see the glory of God. Amen. Would you turn to Judges, the 13th chapter, and verse 17. Start in verse number 16. It says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord." And when it says angel of the Lord here, it really means God himself. There are times when God was a theophany. He appeared to men in the form of a man on a temporary basis. But, well, Bethlehem wasn't a theophany. He was the real deal. And verse 17 says, "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it's a secret?" I know a secret. His name is above every name. But I can say the name this morning. He's revealed it unto me. There's a whole lot of religion today that even though they believe in God, they don't know the name of God. It's a secret that we need to get out. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, especially at this time of the year. We ask, Lord, your anointing upon this flesh and your word. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There were men throughout the Bible that wanted to know the name of God. We just read about Manoah and Jacob. Isaiah prophesied that God would come in the flesh, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But yet no name was given until 700 years after this prophecy. And then perhaps the same angel that appeared unto Manoah appeared unto Joseph in Matthew 1 and 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So what are we saved from this morning? What are we saved from? We're saved from a lot of things. We're saved from a lot of things that this world is exposed to. But mainly, we're saved from the judgment of all of the corruption that has been in our life in sin. And God's saying, I'm not going to judge you based on that because I've taken care of that. 4,000 years of guessing and wondering about the name of God, and now it is revealed at the time he appeared in the flesh. Isaiah 7 and 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. At Christmas time, people are all about packaging and all about gifts. Well, after 4,000 years, the package was delivered. But it was delivered unopened and wrapped in swaddling clothes, no glitter, no fanfare, no trumpets, just a manger, straw, and a group of farm animals. And people didn't expect the greatest gift to be wrapped in such a menial, humble manner. Who could have thought that the greatest gift this world has ever received was born in an obscure stable? There even was a name on the package, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The package was labeled, and it was for us, yet no one except for a couple of humble shepherds and a few wise men recognized the gift for what it really is. Oh, it's still a secret to this world. For 33 years, they examined the package. Isn't that amazing? They talked about what it could be, speculated how this could change their entire lives, even wondered where this package actually came from. But what they didn't do is they didn't open the package for themselves. Oh, it's a nice package. Oh, you know, it talks well. Oh, I like some of the things that have happened as a result of the package. Some ask, is this gift for everyone or is it only for the Jews? Or is this the authentic gift, or do we look for another gift? Like John the Baptist said, are you the one or do we wait for another? Just because his situation wasn't taken care of, we're thinking it's not the proper gift. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And Jesus said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He has made a commitment to us long before we ever made a commitment to him, and he's not changing his mind. Circumstances, even in your life, has not caused him to change his mind. And yet sometimes the unthinkable has happened as we give the gift back. It's not working for us. Maybe it isn't the real gift in the first place. All the lights at this time of the year, yet how much light is really put on the Father of lights? He is an unopened gift that has been completely paid for, wrapped with care, longing to be revealed to this entire world, but we don't see the value in the gift. Oh, please don't put him in a manger again. Amen. Please don't put him back on Calvary. Amen. We can't keep Jesus in a box or even in a book called the Bible. Amen. We can have book report after book report coming out of this wonderful book that we have, and yet it's not enough to read about him. You have to open the package. You have to really see the real deal. You have to experience what's in the box. We need to think of him for the gift that keeps on giving every day. He is the Father in creation. He is the Son in redemption, the Holy Ghost in regeneration. There are so many people who want to live for God, but they don't have the power within them in order to change the characteristics of this flesh. And these three are one. His name is above every name, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, you can know about the gift without actually receiving it. Could you turn to John, the 8th chapter? John 8 and verse number 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. What Jesus is saying, if you don't have the understanding that I am God in the flesh, if you don't understand the reason I came, you will die in your sins. You know why? You will not submit to baptism in Jesus' name. Unless people have the revelation that Jesus is God, they'll not see the necessity of following the plan of salvation, Jesus' name, for the washing away of their sins. For many, Jesus is the unknown God, a reason to have a tree, time off from work, buying gifts for other people. It's just another holiday, just like 4th of July, but I'm telling you, there's something more about this holiday. More people are open to the love of God than anything else. Would you turn to Acts, the 17th chapter? Starting in verse 18, this is a place that my wife and I were some years ago on Mars Hill in Greece. And all of the profound people would come there once a week, stand on top of this hill. It's a great big rock. And they would expound on what they were philosophers on these new things that they feel nobody else knew. It says, and certain philosophers and the Epicureans of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Acropolis, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all of the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Folks, there's not a new thing on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Don't be chasing after some kind of new revelation or new doctrine, every wind of sleight of man's hand. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the worlds and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Hallelujah. That they should seek the Lord and find him. If there was ever a time to find him, if there was ever a time to really know God, it's now. One of the early Christmas gifts God gives people is a heart to know him. We don't talk much about that. We talk about repentance. We talk about baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. We talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost and what an exciting thing that is. But long before we ever go to church or decide to be baptized in his name, or before we ever receive the Spirit of God living inside of us, God puts something in our hearts to want to have him revealed to us. There isn't one person who has made a commitment to God that God didn't put some kind of desire within them in order to really want to know him. I wonder how many times I've heard somebody say before I came into the church, I said, God, if you're really out there, you really need to demonstrate to me. You need to show me that you're real, that there's something more tangible. Why is it that I don't have the joy at this time of the year? God? And then God comes. Like it says in Jeremiah 29, on the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you're going to find me. Would you turn to Jeremiah chapter 24? Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse number 7. It says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall turn unto me with their whole heart. I really believe the greatest gift that God has ever given to us is that he put a desire, a tenderness, an openness within a heart to say, okay, God, if there's more for me, I really want it. How many people have heard the word of God? How many people have walked through these doors, felt the Shekinah glory of God, and then never did anything? See, it's not enough to have information. You have to have a desire to open up the present. To say, God, I want all of what you have for me. And when I get it, I'm not going to turn it back. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. John, the 4th chapter. Verse number 7, very familiar scripture concerning a woman at a well. Verse 7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I've had people say to me, you know, why would God do this for me? You don't understand the nature of God. You don't understand the love that God has. He's not a respecter of persons. He's just looking for another lost soul in order to bring into his kingdom. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you knew the gift of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The gift of God standing right in front of her, and she didn't know. That gift giver is right next to you right now. Hallelujah. If you knew that God was standing right in front of you, amen. One of the greatest experiences I've ever had is walking into a Spirit-filled church and physically feeling the presence of God for the first time. And I could dismiss everything else that happened in that service, every word that was preached, all the songs, all those emotional people. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what the gift of God really was, but I felt something I had never felt before, and I could have walked out of here and never opened the gift. Oh, if people knew the gift of God, they too would seek the Holy Ghost and life eternal. One of the greatest days that Jesus had on this earth was when the first person opened up the gift. For 4,000 years, he was waiting for someone to open a gift, someone, anyone. And finally, there was somebody who opened it. Would you turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter? Matthew 16, verse number 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the flesh of God, the Son, the very image of God, the living God. He's saying, I know who you are. The secret is out. I have a revelation that came from God. So after 4,000 years, finally someone opens the package. Someone understands who God really is and declares to the world, his name is Jesus, and he is the only true God. Is it any wonder why Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom? Lots of failures, but the greatest revelation, he was first to open the gift. Amen. We all have that opportunity. The time of the year, this time, produces a lot of emotions. Charles Dickens said, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times, and sometimes we're right in the middle of that because we're thinking, this is great and this is awful. That's how many of us feel at this time of the year. It's the joy of the season and family mixed with feelings of what once was and can never be again. Christmas causes us to look back and remember past Christmases, perhaps better times than maybe even this year. And I believe God would have us to slow down and maybe look back and remember the memorials, the times when God healed us and saved us, the times when we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and look back to those times, and even though maybe some things aren't going the way they should be in your life right now, well, we have some heritage, we have some blessings, we have some things that we can still rejoice about. And I believe God would have us slow down and look at the best gift that we've ever gotten, that he's never taken away from us, and maybe what we ought to do is stir it up. Stir up the gift that is within us. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, as David said. Parents, it's time that our children hear the story from us and not from the Sunday school teacher alone. The real reason for the season is Jesus. Read it to them. Take out the book and go to Luke, the second chapter, and read the story to them. Don't let them forget what is the greatest gift of all. Teach them how to open the wonders of Jesus for themselves. Let them understand that there are depths and gifts and beautiful revelations within the books that they don't need a preacher in order to expound, but they can find it for themselves, and God will talk to them. There are many books in this world, but there's only one book that will actually talk to you. There are pages in my Bible that have been soaked in tears because God spoke to me about things. There's so many who wonder what is the will of God and when God really wants to talk to you and give you that. But you know what? If you go after him with your whole heart, we find Jesus the same way that the wise men found him, by scripture, by his spirit, and led by God's stars on this earth. And that's who we are. I don't want to be a movie star. I don't want to be a star in athletics. But I'd really like to be a star that led somebody to Jesus. Amen. Our last scripture, if the musicians would come, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. First Peter 4 and 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of God's manifold grace of God. We got it. I got mine. So let everybody try to get their own. No, if we received the gift, somehow we need to minister that gift to somebody else. The Holy Ghost is many things to us. It gives us strength. It changes our character. But the main thing, according to Acts 1 and 8, is that we shall be witnesses unto those that are without. I'm glad I have this information. It's power, folks. I'm glad I have the Spirit of God within me. It's power, folks. But that power not used will diminish. And it won't be dunamis anymore. It'll be just enough in order to hold on. But this year, I'm determined I'm going to use that power in order to reach out to somebody else so they could have the same experience that we have, folks. Amen. Do you love them this morning? Amen. Would you stand with me? About every 15 years, we have Christmas fall on a Sunday. And I can't tell you deep within me, I got so excited about preaching Jesus on Christmas Day. And you know, the chances of this really being his birthday are probably very, very slim. Doesn't matter. If we decided that we're all going to worship God on the 4th of July, we're still going to have a great move of God, you know. I'm telling you, for the last month and a half, people have been hearing Christmas songs in the malls and everywhere else, and it has an effect on them somehow, and it opens their heart. If there was ever a time to re-gift, it's right now, folks. I said this about a week ago. When Saul was troubled by an evil spirit, he had David come and play before him in order to calm him down. I believe what's happening in this world is there's a spirit of calming down and opening up. And God is preparing hearts for something great this year in 2017. I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I don't want to be just an onlooker. I want to be a participant in what God is doing in these end times. Of the 6,000 years, folks, that you could have lived on the face of the earth, God has chosen you to bring in these last days. He's got some confidence in you. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?